In a world where magic is outlawed and punishable by death, M. Lin's Golden Curse has captivated readers with its blend of forbidden romance and political intrigue. This fantasy romance, the first in Lin's best-selling series, has developed a cult following among young adult readers seeking stories of defiance and impossible love. The tale follows Personette Etta Basile, a woman with forbidden magic who enters a deadly tournament to become the protector of the very prince whose family destroyed hers. What begins as a mission of vengeance transforms into something far more complicated when ancient curses and unexpected feelings collide. With its exploration of prejudice, loyalty, and the gray areas between good and evil, Golden Curse challenges readers to question what they'd sacrifice for duty and what they'd risk for love. The Kingdom of Gaul stands as a monument to hypocrisy. Its impressive castle walls and opulent palace halls house a royal family that has built its power on the persecution of magic folk. King Alexandre Durand's father established his rule by purging the kingdom of magic users. Ironic, considering the very wards protecting the kingdom from outside threats were created through magic. This contradiction forms the foundation of Gaul's precarious political situation. The royal family maintains that magic is evil, yet they benefit from its protection. The citizens, indoctrinated with fear and hatred, eagerly participate in hunting down those with magical abilities, never questioning the inconsistency in their ruler's stance. The kingdom's history intertwines with that of neighboring Bela, once the greatest magical kingdom ruled by the Basile family. Generations ago, King Philip Basile sought a magical plant called Rampion to save his dying queen, Aurora. His venture beyond the walls of Draken, the domain of the powerful sorceress Ladam, resulted in a devastating curse. The Basile family's firstborn would forever serve as protector to the Durands of Gaul, their sworn enemies. This curse created a magical bond. Protector and charge would feel each other's pain, and if one died, so would the other. This historical context explains the present tension. With the protective wards now fallen after the king's assassination, Gaul stands vulnerable to attack from Ladam and her forces. The persecution of magic users continues with renewed vigor, even as the kingdom faces threats that perhaps only magic could counter. This setting creates the perfect storm for our protagonist Etta to navigate, a woman with magic blood bound by an ancient curse to protect the very people who would execute her for her abilities. The story begins with a deadly tournament, a brutal contest designed to select a protector for Prince Alexandre Durand. For Etta Basile, daughter of the notorious outlaw Victor Basile, this tournament represents both duty and opportunity. Trained in combat since childhood by her father, Etta enters the competition not just to fulfill her family's curse that binds her to protect the prince, but with a deeper purpose: to be the last Basile to serve the Durands and break the curse forever. "There will come a day, Alexandre Durand, when my family will be the death of yours," Victor had vowed after the king's guards murdered Etta's mother. This promise echoes in Etta's mind as she prepares for the tournament, her heart hardened against the prince she once considered a childhood friend. The tournament itself is a spectacle of violence that reveals Etta's exceptional combat skills. Despite mockery from male competitors who underestimate her abilities, she demonstrates lethal precision with throwing knives and spears. Her first victory comes when she plunges a spear into a palace guard's neck, an act that wins the crowd's approval but leaves her privately devastated at taking a life. As the competition progresses, Etta forms an unexpected alliance with Edmund, another skilled fighter. Together, they defeat Ward, the strongest competitor, before facing each other in the final match. In a pivotal moment that defines her character, Etta refuses to kill Edmund after gaining the upper hand, offering him mercy instead of delivering the death blow the tournament demands. This act of defiance enrages the king, who prepares to expose Etta's true identity to the crowd. Before he can speak, however, an arrow pierces his throat, killing him instantly and throwing the kingdom into chaos. The tournament's conclusion thus becomes not just Edda's victory, but the catalyst for the political upheaval that follows. The fallen king, the crumbling wards that protected Gaul from magical threats, and the ascension of Prince Alexandra to the throne. Through the tournament, we witness Edda's complex character, her deadly skill juxtaposed with her reluctance to kill unnecessarily, her determination to fulfill her destiny while questioning the curse that binds her. These contradictions make her journey to the palace not just a physical one, but the beginning of an internal struggle between duty and desire, vengeance and compassion. At the heart of Golden Curse lies a tangled web of identities, where no one is quite who they appear to be. Edda Basile enters the palace as the king's protector while concealing her true identity as Percinet Basile, daughter of Victor Basile, the man who killed the king. This deception forms the foundation of her relationship with Alex, creating a tension that builds throughout the narrative. Prince Alexander himself struggles with his identity as the new king, feeling inadequate for the role thrust upon him. "I hated sitting on that throne," he confesses to Captain Anders, revealing his insecurity beneath the royal facade. His artistic nature, shown when Edda discovers his sketchbook containing drawings of her, contrasts with the ruthless leadership expected of him. The secondary characters harbor equally significant secrets. Edmund, Alex's closest friend, conceals his magical abilities in a kingdom where such powers mean death. His secret love for Alex adds another layer of complexity, making his loyalty both personal and dangerous. When his magic is discovered, the revelation shatters Alex's trust. "You became my enemy the day you were born," he tells Edmund, highlighting how deeply ingrained the kingdom's prejudice against magic has become. Prince Tyson's identity contains perhaps the most politically explosive secret. He is not a Durand at all, but the product of Queen Katrine's affair with a man who possessed magic. This revelation explains his sympathy toward magic users and becomes the catalyst for his eventual flight from the castle alongside Edmund. Even Queen Katrine maintains a careful facade. While appearing as the grieving widow, she cryptically remarks that one good man died that day, and one monster, suggesting her relationship with the king was far more complicated than it seemed. Her knowledge of the ancient curse and her manipulations behind the scenes reveal a woman playing a long political game. These layered identities create a narrative where trust is scarce and betrayal inevitable. When Edda's true identity is finally exposed through Maya's betrayal, Alex's world collapses. The woman he loved is revealed as the daughter of his father's killer, transforming their romance into what appears to be the ultimate deception. The brilliance of these intertwined secrets is how they force characters to question their fundamental beliefs. Alex must reconcile his feelings for Edda with her heritage, just as he must reconsider his kingdom's stance on magic when he discovers his own brother possesses magical blood. Edda must navigate her hatred for the Durands against her growing feelings for Alex, wondering if what she feels is genuine or merely the curse's influence. The ancient curse binding the Basilan and Durand families creates the central tension in Edda and Alex's relationship. What begins as mutual distrust transforms into an attraction neither can explain nor resist. Their first encounter in the marketplace, where Alex fails to recognize Edda but finds himself captivated by her defiance, sets the stage for their complicated dynamic. As Edda assumes her role as Alex's protector, the curse manifests physically. During her tournament fight against Gray, Alex inexplicably feels her pain in his own side. This connection deepens during the oath ceremony, where Edda experiences an unexpected sense of joy and completeness as the curse binds her to Alex. Energy flows between them when they touch, creating a bond that feels natural rather than magical. Their attraction culminates in the flower-filled glen of the Black Forest, where they surrender to their desires during a rainstorm. For Etta, this intimate connection brings temporary peace from the curse's pull, though she knows their relationship cannot last. The question haunts both characters. Are their feelings genuine or merely the curse's manipulation? Queen Katrine offers the most intriguing perspective on this dilemma when she asks Etta, why are there no stories of other cursed ancestors falling in love with their charges? This question suggests their connection might transcend the magical bond, representing something authentic despite their circumstances. The curse creates not just emotional but physical dependency. When separated from Alex, Etta experiences excruciating pain, growing weaker as the distance between them increases. Similarly, after her capture, Alex appears pale and weakened from their separation, demonstrating the curse's physical toll on both parties. This magical connection serves as a perfect metaphor for forbidden love, an irresistible pull towards someone society deems inappropriate, a bond that causes pain yet cannot be severed. The curse forces both characters to question the nature of choice in matters of the heart. Can love be real if partially compelled by magic? Can feelings be trusted when they contradict everything one has been taught to believe? The curse's most poignant aspect is how it binds two people who should be enemies. Etta, raised to hate the Durands for killing her mother and persecuting her people, finds herself protecting the very family she was taught to despise. Alex, raised to fear magic as evil, finds himself drawn to a woman whose very blood carries the power he was taught to eradicate. The persecution of magic folk forms the political backdrop of Golden Curse, revealing how fear and prejudice can be weaponized by those in power. Under the previous king's rule, magic was scrubbed clean from Gaul, with users hunted down and executed. This purge, ironically, occurred despite the kingdom's reliance on magical wards for protection. The hypocrisy of Gaul's stance on magic becomes increasingly apparent throughout the narrative. During Alex's first official ball as king, he attempts to distinguish between dark magic and other forms, but this nuance is lost on the bloodthirsty nobles who call for killing all magic folk. This scene powerfully illustrates how hatred, once institutionalized, resists rational modification. Camille and Captain Anders emerge as the most zealous persecutors, continuing to hunt magic users even after the king's death. Their actions represent the entrenched prejudice that persists despite changing leadership. When magic folk are captured daily from the Black Forest, Alex's inability to halt these arrests demonstrates how deeply the anti-magic sentiment has permeated Gaul's governance. Resistance to this persecution takes various forms. In the Black Forest, magic users create a sanctuary protected by Victor Basile's wards. Maya and her father Pierre operate a healing shop in the village, practicing their magic in secret while helping others. Most dramatically, the magical attack on the town following the king's death represents organized resistance, with Maya revealing that magic folk have been organizing since the wards fell. The political landscape shifts dramatically when refugees seek protection behind castle walls after attacks on the village. This crisis forces Alex to confront the consequences of his kingdom's policies. Can he continue his father's persecution of magic users when magical threats now endanger his people? Should he seek alliance with the very individuals his kingdom has hunted? Edmund's arrest for using magic during the attack represents the culmination of these political tensions. Despite Edmund saving Alex's life, the kingdom's laws demand his execution. This personal conflict forces Alex to choose between upholding his father's laws and protecting someone he cares about, a microcosm of the larger political choice facing Gaul. The revelation that Tyson possesses magical blood further complicates the political landscape. If the king's own brother has magic, can magic truly be inherently evil as Gaul's laws suggest? This personal connection to the persecuted group challenges Alex's inherited prejudices in ways abstract arguments never could. Prince Alexander's ascension to the throne after his father's assassination forces him to navigate the treacherous waters of leadership while questioning everything he's been taught. From the moment he sits on the throne, Alex feels the burden of his new role, confessing to Anders that he hated sitting on that throne, and to Etta that he feels inadequate for the position thrust upon him. Alex's leadership journey is complicated by the manipulative court surrounding him. Duchess Moreau and Lord Leroy attempt to influence his decisions, while his sister Camille openly defies him, reminding him he's not my king yet. These challenges to his authority reveal the precarious nature of his position. He may wear the crown, but earning respect requires more than a title. The fallen wards at Gaul's borders create Alex's first major crisis as king. Without these magical protections, his kingdom stands vulnerable to Ladom's forces and to the magic folk seeking revenge for generations of persecution. This external threat forces Alex to consider solutions that contradict his father's policies, including the possibility of seeking help from Basile descendants, the very family his father sought to eradicate. Perhaps the most significant test of Alex's leadership comes when Edmund is arrested for using magic. Despite their lifelong friendship, Alex initially reacts with a sense of betrayal, declaring Edmund became his enemy the day he was born. This reaction reveals how deeply Alex has internalized his kingdom's prejudice against magic. Yet his promise to Tyson that he has a plan to save Edmund suggests an internal conflict between upholding his father's laws and following his own moral compass. Alex's growth as a leader is most evident in small moments of defiance against tradition. He seats Etta in the honored place at his right during the ball instead of Camille, breaking protocol to show respect for his protector. When he sees Etta, Tyson, and Edmund escaping the castle, he deliberately distracts the guards, choosing personal loyalty over rigid enforcement of the kingdom's laws. The ultimate challenge to Alex's leadership comes when he learns Etta's true identity as Personette Basile. This revelation forces him to confront not just a personal betrayal, but a political dilemma. How should he respond to the daughter of the man who killed his father? His decision to have her arrested while specifically instructing his guards not to harm Tyson or Edmund reveals his evolving approach to justice, one that attempts to distinguish between actual crimes and mere association with magic. By the story's end, Alex stands at a crossroads of leadership. The kingdom he inherited is threatened from without by Ladom's forces and from within by growing resistance from magic folk. His personal connections to individuals with magic, Edmund, Tyson, and Etta, have complicated his understanding of his father's policies. Whether he will forge a new path or revert to his father's methods remains the central question of his leadership journey. Throughout Golden Curse, characters struggle against forces that seem to control their destinies. For Etta, the ancient curse binding her family to protect the Durans represents the ultimate loss of freedom. This curse takes everything we love, Victor warns his daughter, suggesting an inescapable fate that has destroyed generations of Basiles. Yet Etta refuses to accept this deterministic view. When her father insists the curse can only be endured, not overcome, she vows to find a way to free them both. This determination to break the chains of destiny drives her actions throughout the narrative, from entering the tournament to her eventual decision to seek out Ladom, the source of the curse. Alex similarly struggles against predetermined paths. As king, he inherits not just a crown, but expectations to continue his father's policies. His betrothal to Amali represents another aspect of his life planned without his consent. His growing feelings for Etta and his conflicted response to Edmund's magic reveal his internal fight against the destiny laid out for him by his father and kingdom. The concept of choice versus fate becomes particularly complex in Etta and Alex's relationship. The curse creates a magical bond between them, raising the question of whether their attraction is genuine or merely the curse's manipulation. What we feel isn't real, Etta warns Alex after their first kiss, suggesting their feelings are not freely chosen but magically compelled. Queen Katrine challenges this view, however, when she asks Etta why there are no stories of other cursed ancestors falling in love with their charges. This question suggests their connection might transcend the curse, representing a choice made despite their circumstances rather than because of them. Edmund and Tyson's escape from the castle represents perhaps the most explicit rejection of predetermined roles in the story. Edmund chooses to reveal his magic rather than continue living a lie, while Tyson embraces his magical heritage rather than denying it to maintain his royal position. Their flight from Gaul symbolizes a physical manifestation of their rejection of the destinies assigned to them by birth. The theme reaches its culmination when Etta sacrifices herself so Edmund and Tyson can escape the pursuing soldiers. This act represents both acceptance of her cursed role as protector and a defiance of it. She protects not the prince she's bound to, but those fleeing from him. In this moment, Etta reclaims agency within the constraints of her curse, choosing who deserves her protection rather than blindly following magical compulsion. As Etta is led to the dungeons at the story's end, she embraces her identity as Personette Basile, heir to the Beleian throne, acknowledging that the cursed always have greater battles to wage. This statement suggests that breaking free from destiny requires first accepting who you are, including the constraints placed upon you, before you can begin to fight against them. Betrayal permeates Golden Curse, shaping relationships and driving the narrative forward. The story begins with historical betrayal, King Alexandra's father betraying Ladam by erecting wards against her, and later betraying Victor Basile, his former champion. These acts set in motion the events of the present, establishing a cycle of betrayal that the characters must navigate. For Etta, betrayal is foundational to her worldview. The murder of her mother by the king's guards destroyed her childhood trust in the Durants, particularly in young Prince Alexander, who once was her friend. "He will never have my friendship again," she vows, carrying this sense of betrayal into adulthood. Her entry into the tournament as the prince's protector thus begins as its own form of betrayal. She plans to fulfill the curse only to break it and potentially destroy the Durand line. Alex experiences betrayal most acutely when he discovers Edmund's magical abilities. "You've used magic on me before," he accuses his lifelong friend, feeling violated by this revelation. The depth of his hurt reveals how completely he trusted Edmund, making the deception all the more painful. Similarly, when he learns Etta's true identity as Personette Basile, daughter of his father's killer, his world shatters. The woman he loved appears to have orchestrated the ultimate betrayal, entering his life under false pretenses, perhaps even responsible for his father's death. Trust, once broken, proves difficult to rebuild. When Alex confronts Etta in the dungeon after her capture, he addresses her coldly as a prisoner rather than a lover. Though a moment of tenderness breaks through when he whispers, "Etta," he quickly hardens again, unable to reconcile his feelings with her deception. This scene poignantly illustrates how betrayal transforms intimacy into distance, affection into suspicion. Yet the narrative also suggests possibilities for healing after betrayal. Queen Catherine, despite her husband's cruelty, works behind the scenes to protect those with magic, including her son Tyson. Her actions represent an attempt to atone for her complicity in the king's persecution of magic folk. Similarly, Alex's decision to distract the guards during Edmund, Tyson, and Etta's escape hints at his potential to forgive past deceptions when he understands the reasons behind them. Perhaps most significantly, Etta's growing feelings for Alex represent a form of healing from betrayal. Despite her childhood vow never to trust a Durand again, she finds herself questioning her hatred as she observes Alex's burden of leadership and his struggle to be a better king than his father. She felt the edges of her hatred for the Durands beginning to crumble, the narrative reveals, leaving her afraid of the emptiness that might follow. This fear highlights how betrayal can become part of one's identity. Letting go of justified anger requires finding something new to put in its place. Golden Curse concludes with its protagonists at a crossroads, their fates uncertain but inextricably linked. Etta sits imprisoned in the dungeons of Gaul, captured as the Kingslayer's daughter, yet still bound to Alex by the ancient curse. Alex, now aware of her true identity, struggles with conflicting emotions, betrayal at her deception, anger at her lineage, yet unable to fully extinguish his feelings for her. This unresolved tension sets the stage for the sequel, Golden Chains, where their story continues. The teaser promises that despite Etta's desire to see Gaul burn, she becomes essential when King Alex is kidnapped, as she's the only one who can find him due to their magical connection. This premise cleverly extends the curse's implications. What was once a burden becomes potentially life-saving. Beyond the immediate narrative, Golden Curse leaves readers with thought-provoking questions about prejudice, destiny, and the nature of evil. The persecution of magic folk in Gaul serves as a powerful allegory for real-world discrimination, challenging readers to consider how fear of difference leads to institutionalized oppression. The curse binding Etta to Alex explores whether genuine connection can develop even when initially forced by circumstances beyond one's control. Perhaps most significantly, the novel interrogates inherited beliefs about good and evil. Alex's discovery that his brother possesses magical blood forces him to question whether magic is inherently evil, as his father claimed. Etta's growing affection for Alex challenges her assumption that all Durrans are monsters, deserving of her hatred. These evolving perspectives suggest that breaking cycles of violence requires questioning the narratives we inherit about who our enemies are. M. Lin's creation resonates with readers because it combines the escapism of fantasy with relatable human struggles. The impossible love between Etta and Alex speaks to anyone who has felt drawn to someone society deems inappropriate. The characters' fights against predetermined destinies echo our own desires to chart courses independent of expectations. The political intrigue surrounding magic reflects real-world tensions between tradition and progress, between fear-based policies and inclusive governance. As Etta embraces her identity as Percinet Basil, heir to the Balean throne in the story's final moments, she acknowledges that the cursed always have greater battles to wage. This statement encapsulates the novel's legacy, a recognition that constraints, whether magical curses or societal prejudices, don't determine one's worth or ultimate fate. The true battle lies in choosing who to become despite the limitations placed upon us, and in finding the courage to love even when logic dictates otherwise.